Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ohayou gozaimasu and kanpai, and welcome to the High Persian Podcast, a very special episode.
Oh my god, this man is fucking super fancy with it. Man. Hey buddy, I'm Hulk. You're Steve. We're going to talk about our game of the year, or games of the year. Last year we didn't really do a game of the year because it was just like, oh, by the way, it's Elden Ring. What else would it be? But this year, quite a different beast.
Yeah, I have a feeling our lists are going to look different.
You know, honestly, I was thinking that too. I think there's probably a couple. What we did was basically put together our top five list with, you know, I'm going to say which of mine was the favorite out of those. And then, you know, we'll have some honorable mentions and stuff too, because as we talked about leading into this year, it was fucking crazy. And I got to tell you, like, the quality of releases this year has kind of been bananas, you know? It's been one of those where there hasn't been, like, a super disappointing one of these releases. One of these releases I was looking forward to, none of them came out, and I was like, wow, that sucks that sucks, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, luckily we weren't excited about Redfall.
Or so. Gollum.
Or that Godzilla game, or King Kong game, sorry.
I know one dude who was excited for Gollum, and that was fucking Nick, and he was like, oh, man, I was hoping it was going to be good. And I was like, buddy, the writing was on the wall.
Yeah, the second they said Gollum, I was out.
Yeah, so. I was like, of all people to play, I'd rather play a Tom Bombadil game, for God's sakes.
Getting bombed with Tom Bombadil.
Yeah, bombing. oh, man. So, yeah, we're going to talk about this year in games. I mean, you know, we're approaching the end of the year. We're not quite there yet. A couple weeks left, but there's not anything on deck that I think is going to qualify.
We're pretty much through the year of 2023. 2024 is going to get going with a bang,
dude.
We might have to have like the first half of the year awards.
Oh my god. You know, honestly, we had talked about it, and just because of me moving and everything, I didn't have a chance to really put it together like I wanted to, but next year we have to do the High Potion Awards. The bits we can do.
It'll be a great time. Now that you're settled in, you know, we'll do some time. We'll definitely do that next year. It'll be a great time.
We'll have fucking musical guests and shit.
Yeah, maybe we could even do that on stream.
Oh my god. Bro, what if you came into town and I turned my serial killer room into a fucking soundstage for the High Potion Awards and we did like a full-on production? Like, it would be low budget, but a full-on production. I'll build a set.
Sounds like fun. Yeah.
Oh my god. I'll bring a tux. I hate dressing up. Oh my god. Do you think we could get Christopher Judge to come hang out in my basement?
Maybe. We could tell him he could shit on whatever game he wants to.
You just see all the invites that go out are like, to the lady that does the voice of Aki in Street Fighter 6. You know, for Jeff. Marine. Dang, she's cool.
Who was the young lady who co-hosted the Video Game Awards?
Oh, Sydney. Sid. I should probably get her name right. Sydney. Was she a Sydney or a Cindy?
Sydney. Yeah. Sydney.
Sydney. Yeah. Sheesh. Yep. She still hasn't taken me up on my offer to move to Alabama.
She's probably still catching up on your back episodes.
Yeah.
Once she gets to that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, dude. What if I you have her as the co-host and I'm just awkward the whole time? Hello. So it would be worse than that bit with Jeff Keighley and Gonzo, bro. But it would not be scripted.
Boy.
Oh, boy. I like this idea. 3D print up some statues. Shit.
Mm-hmm. I bet we could get some other special guests in town for it too.
Oh yeah, bro. I bet you we could get the whole crew together. Music performance. Fucking I'll get our buddy Jeremy to run like camera switching and stuff. It's got to be multi-camera. This isn't a single camera event.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, we'll get James to come in and kind of sound tinkerer. Mm.
Maybe we think about different crew, maybe, you know. Love you, Jeremy, bro. I love you, Jeremy, buddy. I know you listen to this show. You text me. Your boy got you, buddy. Anyways, you know one thing I wanted to do? We were talking about this. Steve and I have these weird moments where, like, without talking about something, we both have the same idea. And our buddy Florian, you know, made friends with HK-47 from the Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic franchise. And he sent in a bunch of questions. He was like, just use them whenever you need them. Well, the last few weeks, you know, lots going on. And I was, when I was getting my list together, I was like, oh yeah, I need to make a note. We should do a Florian voicemail. And then Steve and I get on Skype and he's like, you know what we should do is play a Florian voicemail. You son of a bitch, you read my mind. So let's do it. Let's hear the second one.
Awesome.
Greetings, meatbags. Oh. Query, if you could bring a game item into the real world for everyday use, what would it be? And how would it benefit your life? Mockery, selecting a lightsaber does not instantly grant you the wisdom of a Jedi, nor the training to wield it properly.
Oof.
That's a good question.
A video game item I could bring in real life, the robot pants from The Surge. I mean, that one's just all around practical.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the doo-doo stomping I would be? Were we doing the bit? Was it on the show or was it on stream where we were doing the bit about you don't want to be the guy that gets the first revision of robot pants?
Right. Yeah.
I can't remember if that was on the show or if that was on stream.
It was on stream.
I thought so too. Yeah. What do you think, Steve? That's not my real answer. I'm fucking stalling while I try to think.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm going to go with, let's see here. I want something that like stops time. It's either that or the portal gun from Portal.
Oh, dude, the portal gun from Portal would be sick.
Yeah, I think the portal gun would have the most practical uses.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Around the house kind of applications. I could use it in lots
I'm
of other things.
I'm not fucking hauling my fat tits down those basement stairs ever again, bro. Nah, man, just bloop.
I could just open like a blue portal to McDonald's, you know?
Oh my God, bro. Japan.
Yep, mm-hmm. Japan.
I'm going to go sitting in a work meeting right before my lunch break. I'm going to go to Japan for lunch, guys. Bloop, bloop. There I go.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with the portal gun.
That's a really good answer. See, like, it's weird. I have this weird distinction in my head because he brought up lightsabers, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where, I mean, obviously, there have been hundreds of applications of lightsabers in video games. But to me, it's not a video game item, right?
Mm-hmm,
it's a movie item that was adapted into the video game with varying degrees of success. So what do you think would happen? So let's say I bring one of the fucking mushrooms from Mario into the real world and eat that. So mm-hmm. Do I double in size?
I mean, I think so. If you eat the That doesn't the regular mushroom.
That doesn't really have great practical applications in my life, right?
Mm-mm. Not necessarily. Now, fire breathing, maybe a little different story.
Yeah, even that, like, I don't, I, you
what
know,
about tanukis? The tanuki suit.
Now, the tanuki suit would be pretty sick, but honestly, the one true answer should be the one-up mushroom. You know what I mean?
That's true.
And the benefits are obvious. 100%.
Second life.
Yeah, yeah, man. Like, you know, okay, so as far as, like, video game quote-unquote weapons go, once again, I don't see how, like, having a lancer. Like, if I could make a lancer appear in my hands, I would be like, this is fucking sick. I'm going to go cut right down a tree, shoot it a few times. But then I just have a lancer sitting in my fucking... Now, if there is some kind of home invasion situation, then it becomes handy. But I'm trying to think a little more positively this
way. Right. Yeah. No, I'm trying to think of other things than weapons.
Yeah.
And I know that's somewhat ironic considering I picked something called a gun, a portal gun.
Yeah, but it's not really a weapon.
Yeah, it's like just a portal opener, really.
What are some other... And then, like, okay, so let's say I bring the master sword. What? So I'm just a fat guy in a wheelchair in his front yard swinging around a legendary sword? What benefit does it provide me?
Steve? Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, is there like some kind of potion or like Phoenix Down from Final Fantasy?
Yeah, or, Phoenix Down would be sick.
It's like a summon stone or something?
God. A summon materia?
Yeah.
Bro,
that could be kind of neat. You could summon Leviathan or whatever, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody gets snippy with you.
Watch
at the
out,
Walmart.
Elmer Fudd. You about to get hit by every member of the Knights of the Round.
Oof, we got an hour.
yeah. For real, I'll savor every minute of it. I'll come with a bag of popcorn.
Right. Yeah, because even if you were to take something as badass as a Buster Sword, you know. Like,
I could get one of those off of Etsy for a few $100. You know what
right.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not going to turn me into Cloud Strife. I wish it would. I don't know, man. That's an interesting question. I honestly feel like the portal gun is such a solid answer. I was sitting here trying to think if there was anything from Yakuza. So, like, what would I do? Do you get, like, a Tarner, you know?
That's weird. I don't know, yeah.
A stamina plus?
Like the hourglass from Prince of Persia that lets you rewind
Ooh,
time.
Buddy.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. Like even a power where I could freeze time. Like I mean, there would be certain applications. Like I would freeze time and take a nap. You know what I mean?
Rewinding time is different though.
Yeah. No, yeah. It is different. Rewinding time. How far can I go back? Because there's, you know what I mean? There's some serious rewinding that needs to be done.
Let's put this bad boy to the test.
Yeah, let's put this
right
bad...
away.
Yeah, we're getting into some fucking butterfly effect shit going on here, man.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, I'll be writing letters defending Danny Masterson in court.
Oh, Lord.
I wouldn't do that. You want to talk about our game of the years? Man.
Yes, let's do that.
So what do you want to do? Do you want to start with sort of our honorable mention list and then ascend?
Yeah. Like we both end with our top game.
Yeah, ascend like Jeff Keighley into the device, you know, causing the second impact. We get to see the trailer for the next Monster Hunter and then the world ends. So give me your, I'm just going to do my honorable mentions as sort of like a group. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was going to do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, what's yours, buddy? Give me your honorable mentions.
So honorable mentions here, I've got Jedi Survivor.
Uh-huh.
Some games that I just haven't had time to play properly, which yep. I don't even know that might even be in its own category, but stuff like Baldur's Gate 3.
Same.
Alan Wake 2. I haven't put enough time into those games to properly put like a judgment out on them. Whereas Survivor I did, and I really liked that game. Ishin,
yeah.
Dead Space Remake, I think falls into that category. Mortal Kombat 1 is good, you know, as purely a fighting game, but I'm not putting that anywhere near my top five because there's no crossplay. Yeah, I think that's probably my, yeah, I think that's about my honorable mentions.
Yeah, so mine, Ishin, is definitely on there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that game. It's just, it was more of a, like, there's a clear break in Yakuza games that comes post Yakuza 0, right? And Ishin is in sort of the older type of Yakuza game. So there is, like, they got a lot better about making some of the grindy stuff more fun in later games. And you can feel that they hadn't really super mastered that in Ishin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But really dug it. And, you know, for a game that once I got into the Yakuza series and found out that there's two sort of samurai period Yakuza games that were never released over here, I was like, the fuck? So I'm super glad I finally got to play that. Dead Space remake, absolutely. Like, what a great remake. So nice to see that franchise back.
Mm-hmm.
A remake of the first game, though. You know what I mean? A really well-done remake. Looks gorgeous, plays super well. Baldur's Gate, if I had had more time, if we had been able to, like, really hit that multiplayer hard, it would certainly be in my top five list.
Surely it would. Yeah, I can't see that it won't. We just haven't played enough of it.
Exactly. Yeah. But it definitely bears mentioning. So one that I'm sure is on your list but is in an honorable mention for me is Resident Evil 4 Remake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Great time playing that game. My favorite Resident Evil game, you know, before, and that kind of just cemented it for me, to be 100% honest.
Yeah, that's how I felt about, like, the Jedi Survivor game. That is just outside. That's the closest to the top five of all the games that I mentioned.
Now, I also want to bring up Diablo 4, which I didn't stop playing Diablo 4 because I wasn't enjoying it. In fact, I was really enjoying my time with Diablo 4. I know it's taken a lot of fucking flack for their seasons and stuff. I haven't fucked with any of that. And then the times you and I played together were just, very fun. I will go back to Diablo 4 when the Siren's Call hits me. I just haven't had time to finish it, right? So didn't feel right putting it in my top five. Starfield, same thing. Spent a lot of time in Starfield, as is my way with the Bethesda game. My first playthrough is I fuck around so much that then I end up getting distracted and not beating like the main story.
Mm-hmm.
Starfield is temporarily on the back burner until Steve hits me up and he's like, I think it's time I'm going to start playing Starfield. Then I'm going to pick it back up so we can do an episode eventually. That game's going to have long legs. It's not like we need to get to it anytime soon, right? And I think that's kind of it. I mean, you know, Mortal Kombat 1, for the same reason you said, if it had crossplay, there would probably be two fighting games on my Game of the Year list. And it bums me out because it is solid, and I know there's, like, weird stuff online or in versus with player one and player two, but, like, unlike somebody we know, Joe, my goal isn't just to get in there and embarrass my friends. It's like just to goof off, especially in Mortal Kombat. That's a joke, Jeff, by the way. I felt kind of bad after that one. After my man's on his way trying to get master rank and I'm sitting here making dumb jokes about him and shit.
He does embarrass us, for the record.
Yeah, but, you know, like, Mortal Kombat, playing that online is never something I'm going to take as seriously as playing Street Fighter with you guys, just because I like Street Fighter more. It's a bummer that we haven't been able to have, like, a big Mortal Kombat night, so that keeps it off the list, for sure. For sure.
I feel the same way.
Also want to toss an honorable mention to a mobile game, Final Fantasy Ever Crisis, which I didn't start playing on the phone because I was like, meh, don't want to play on the phone. And then they put it out on Steam, and I'm down bad, Steve. I'm down bad. They already they've got maybe 5+ brand new costumes for Tifa. I got one. I don't even know what it is, but she's like wearing a blue sweater. There's Lifeguard Tifa. Ooh, woo. There's Santa Tifa, which I'm working on unlocking right now. Ooh, woo. So Shout out
right up your alley, man.
I know,
and
man.
Just think, if the Street Fighter one hadn't fucked you over, you might be talking about that one still.
Oh my god, I don't even want to talk about that Street
that little mobile game.
You know what, I think that might have been the thread of Destiny. You know those weird fucking smoky dudes in the Final Fantasy VII remake? I think they showed up and fucked up my Street Fighter duel game because, bro, I was about to turn into a whale. I was obsessed with that
Yeah,
game.
You were really into that for a second. Yeah, yeah, I remember man. That.
Yeah, man. So, buddy, do you want to start? You want me to start with my fifth, or do you want to start with your fifth?
I am going to start with my fifth.
Okay.
If that's okay with you. And this, because this is slightly controversial.
Uh-huh.
I have a tie here, and it's only because I feel like I want you to judge this for me. Okay.
Okay.
So on one hand, we have a game that, picture this, in September, you have a game that's coming out by this studio that's world renowned for their RPGs.
Uh-huh.
They haven't released one in fucking years, you know. People have been just dying for this, and as it turns out, to me anyway, it wasn't even the best RPG that released that month. It was the Phantom Liberty Cyberpunk.
Right.
Now here's my problem. I haven't actually got to the Phantom Liberty part of this yet.
Right.
But I've put in close to 45 hours in.
God damn it.
I've gone on too long.
Jeff Keighley, you can't be fucking playing off Steve on our own show, you son of a bitch. Please continue, Steve.
Oh, man.
Oh, so yeah. You haven't gotten to the Phantom Liberty part.
Right, right. But I have been playing the shit out of the 2.0, now 2.1 update, which launched with Phantom Liberty. So I do kind of feel like that counts, and I put enough time in it to say that it is fucking awesome. And I can't wait to actually get to the Phantom Liberty part. So I wanted to actually at least shout the game out.
Right.
That is tied with Warhammer Darktide for fifth. So, and Warhammer Darktide is controversial in and of itself because it technically came out last year for PC. But since I don't play on PC, it just came out this year for me, so I'm counting it.
Okay. Yeah. So why don't we do this, Steve? In your number five spot, I am fully down with you putting Cyberpunk 2077 2.0/ Phantom Liberty.
Cool. It is
such a refresh, and like it does contain the new DLC. I'm fine with that. And one of the reasons I'm fine with that, because my number five is Warhammer 40K Darktide.
So let's just talk about that.
Yeah, man. And I fucking, my thinking was exactly yours. Like, yes, it came out on PC last year. I could have played it then, but this was a game I completely put out of my mind until we had the opportunity to all play together, right? Mm-hmm. This is not a game I wanted to play solo. I didn't want to play it just two players. I wanted to do the whole crew. Steve and I have been excited for this game since the announcement of the Xbox Series S, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes out and they delay the Xbox version and I forget all about it. And one night it was when we were going to start playing Payday 3.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially,
uh-oh.
God damn it, Jeff.
You might have gone on too long, man.
Jeff Keighley. Jeff!
We're going to have to.
Stop it!
Hold
Get
on.
Get out of the device, Jeff! We were going to download Payday 3 as like a new game to play together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that Darktide was on there and I was like, what the fuck? When did this happen? Wasn't even aware that it, I think it might even been the day it hit Game Pass.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah.
And so we downloaded it and played it the next day. And that next day was, I didn't think we would play it. I was like, oh, so this isn't going to last very long.
Because we complete a single mission.
We're getting dookie stomped, man. And then slowly but surely figuring out all the mechanics might have something to do with the fact that I skip every goddamn cutscene in that game. But it is so much fun with four people. And like, you know what? Because I got early burnt out on the Left 4 Dead formula. right? After Left 4 Dead 1 and 2, that was kind of it for me. You know, I wasn't really into World War Z. Back 4 Blood didn't really, you know, pique my interest. Partially because I'm kind of just done with zombies, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All you had to do was place those zombies in space and give me fucking space X-Men powers and I'm fucking in, dude. I'm a crazy lady named Vladia Divac who communes with demons and has fucking crystal X-Men powers. Let's do it.
Popping so many heads.
Oh my god. And the bit potential, we always talk about if you have a game you can play with a group of friends and do bits and have like dumb little shit. One, like the fact that whoever is sitting next to Nick's character is in the fart seat, you know? And how Nick will play like a dumb ogren, like he'll stay in character sometimes.
That was another great thing about this game was our buddy Nick was super like right away, like, yes, I love this game. Let's play it all the time.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It got him back hanging out with us a little more regularly because he's a busy dude, man. He will not hear this. I will probably have used my one-up mushroom and then expired when Nick turns back to listen to this episode. Every winter break since I got my fancy gaming PC, Steve, and started streaming, Nick's like, we should play something weird on my winter break. Because he gets like a whole month off, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
And every time I'm like, fuck yes, buddy, let's do it. What do you want to play? He didn't come through last year. Granted, he got a shiny PlayStation 5 and was getting to play all those fucking PlayStation 5 games. Demon Souls and stuff.
Yeah.
This year there ain't an excuse. I don't care if you're playing Quantum Break. If you're playing through every single fucking one of that studio's games, make a little time. Let's play something weird. I'm gonna get Will and you and Nick to play Genshin with me this winter break. That's it.
It's installed on my PlayStation now. So
yeah, I started my character the other night on stream.
Nice. It plays really smooth, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
The Hoyoverse stuff looks good, looks clean, boy, and plays clean.
Boy, you know how I was talking about we should go to Final Fantasy Fan Fest one year, which I still want to do. I think that could be a legendary fucking business expense trip for the podcast.
Uh-huh.
If they do a Hoyoverse fucking convention, like Star Wars Celebration for Genshin Impact,
mm-hmm.
I'm there.
Oh my god,
I gotta
dude.
See
yes.
it.
Yes. 100%. Like, gotta I can't wait to. I mean, I might even look into doing like some cosplaying or.
I can't do that. Well, anime boy in a wheelchair. They don't have that in Genshin.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. It's definitely going to be awesome. Look at.
God shit. Damn it, Jeff!
Where is he?
I don't know, man. I think he might have went in the device and he's just part. It's like Ghost in the Machine. You remember that movie?
Ghost in the Shell?
No, Ghost in the Machine.
Oh, Ghost in the Machine.
Where
yes,
the serial killer died and he fucking possessed electricity. he could like possess household appliances and shit. I think that's Jeff Keighley. He's tired of all the talk and shit. He's omnipresent now.
Oh, man.
Well, we should probably move on. What's your number four?
Okay, my number four is Spider-Man 2.
Ooh, okay.
This game was so much fun to play. Like, you know, I was just trying to think of games that I just enjoyed playing this year. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like for this list, a lot of it had to do with my enjoyment versus like critical opinions or
right.
stuff of that nature so much. But Spider-Man 2 was one of those critical darlings that I just really enjoyed. It's just so fun, man. Like
that studio, buddy. Like after playing that, it makes me want to go back and finish up the Ratchet and Clank, the most recent one they did. Right, that sort of came out in between Miles Morales and Spider-Man 2.
A Rift Apart or yeah. something like that.
Yeah, man. They're just so solid and so smooth. And the PlayStation 5 controller integration and shit.
Yeah, everything about it, it was just smooth. It was just so fun to play. Like, I just, man, really seriously could just swing around those buildings forever. And just kind of not really worry about it. Now they added the fly-in suit, so you just mix that in there here and there. Man. You never have to touch grass in that entire game if you don't want to.
Bro, all my life is not touching grass. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Pretty sure my neighbor is like, does he ever leave the house? My new neighbor? Oh, I had my first sort of passive-aggressive encounter with Dwayne, the neighbor, Steve. You want to bit on Dwayne a little bit?
Yeah, what happened?
There's no way he ever hears this, right? So I was outside yesterday doing some stuff around the outside of the house, right? And he comes over and he's like talking to me, you know, just shooting the shit. And he's like, how you like it so far? I was like, oh man, I really like it. It's such a nice neighborhood. It's quiet. Like, you know, I just kind of hang out and work. And he goes, so Richard, you know, I could grab your trash can and bring it back under the carport for you. And I was like, oh, no, that's all right. I'm actually going to be taking trash out to it here in a little bit because, you know, trash ran today. This was yesterday.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I was like, so yeah, I'll just leave it there and I'm taking some trash out there in a little bit. He was like, okay, well, if you ever need me to bring it back in, I will. You know, I know some people leave it by the road. I don't do that. This man got passive aggressive.
Little passive aggressive.
I was like, oh, all right, Dwayne. All right. I'm going to go inside. This is why I'm antisocial. This is why I don't leave the house.
Get reported to the homeowners association, maybe, but watch out.
There ain't a homeowners association. Thank goodness.
But yeah, man, Spider-Man too. He would just clean up your trash without being passive aggressive about it.
It's,
I guess,
not even cleaning up trash. It's just the trash can was by the road where they pick up the trash.
Mm-hmm.
But you better bet I went and took that bad bitch to the carport today. Once they ran, I was like, all right, Dwayne, keep the peace.
See, he did what he had to do.
Yeah, he said
he's in your head about it now.
Maybe it's Dwayne playing the fucking playoff music. My number four, Street Fighter VI.
Hell yeah. Which is my number three. So we can just chat about this one for a little while.
Yeah, we can just combine our three and our four.
That's right.
Great iteration on Street Fighter. Like, it felt like the biggest jump forward for Street Fighter since maybe between 3 and 4, right?
Yeah, I agree. I'm trying to decide if it's my favorite Street Fighter as we're sitting here talking.
It's not.
It's mine. Nostalgia-wise, it can never beat 4.
4 is mine.
Or 2, really. But, you know, in terms of modern fighter,
it's,
you know,
so rock solid.
Oh, so good.
It's so smooth. Like, the character models are all really cool, like really well done. Like, facial animations, like, you know, I don't think Street Fighter V was a bad looking game, but it kind of just looked like a prettier version of 4. It didn't necessarily feel like, you know, the refresh between 2 and 3, 3 and 4, so on and so forth, right? Felt more iterative,
yeah.
Yep, than transformative. Thank you, buddy. You really had my back on that. Mm-hmm. You know, some things I'm not a super fan of. Like, I thought the World Tour stuff was okay. If I had really liked that, it would probably be even higher on my list.
Yeah, and I put quite a bit of time into that.
Yeah.
There were things that I did really genuinely like about it and things that I really genuinely didn't.
Yeah.
You know? So it kind of lands in the middle, but with that said, it's better than what they've done in the past, which was like not much.
Yeah,
you
know, no doubt.
So definitely a step in the right direction.
You know, I'm excited to see what the next battle pass or fighter pass, what characters are in that. That could really that could really cement my overall feelings about Street Fighter VI. I won't know my overall feelings for about Street Fighter VI until probably 7, because
it's going
to change so much, and there's going to be so many more people added, and it's going to change massively.
I agree, because this first DLC pack, not really my thing.
It hasn't been super mine either. Rashid is fun to play, but I'm just not invested enough to go in and really learn Rashid.
Right. And I'm not mad about any of these characters being included. Like, I'm stoked about seeing Akuma, even though I've never really been much of an Akuma user. And I'm glad all these people are in the game. They just, their play styles aren't really my thing.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, come on. We don't need Ed. Sorry.
No. Jeff. Yeah. And that ain't a joke. Yeah, the only reason that this isn't higher on my list is because I just get my face rubbed in the dirt usually when I play this game. So I love it so much.
Dirt
but, man,
on your face. Disgrace.
I mean, like, the character designs are really good too, especially in the new characters that were just for, damn it, this guy, he's living in my head now.
Yep. The new characters, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, all the ones that they added to the roster in 6.
Yeah, Manon is sick. Marissa,
yeah, she's my
favorite. Sick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Luke.
Nah, I never have liked him. Luckily, none of our friends like to use him, so
no,
we avoid that particular.
They at least have a little class. I think it's super solid. Like, for such an anticipated game, personally, it did pay off. Like, and it's just crazy because you basically get a Street Fighter a generation now, right? So this is it. By the time the next series of consoles are out, that's probably when we'll be starting to talk about a Street Fighter 7, right?
Yeah, and not the mid console refresh.
No,
we're talking about about PlayStation 6s.
Yeah. In 2028,
the Xbox triple XXX box.
Oh, bro.
Series XXX4.
Oh, my God. What if they... Where does the naming convention go here? You know Phil Spencer sleeps in his bed with his fucking covers tucked up under his chin, sweating that at night. What do we call the next ones? We did Xbox Series X and then... Or Xbox One X and Xbox Series X and then...
They just fucked up early. They should have just done the Xbox 2.
Or the do you remember? You know you remember
the 720.
I have vivid memories of my brother-in-law Goose going, "Oh man, wait till they do that Xbox 720."
Yeah, in like 10 years, it's like, well, it's the Xbox 3.14 million, 607,000.
Oh my lord. They're just going to fucking call it the X.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then play X, gonna give it to you. Gonna give it to you. X, gonna give it to you. That'll be the first commercial.
Wasn't there a crappy rock radio station in Birmingham like the X?
Oh, yeah. That's the place that would play like, "Look back at me." That song. What was that song?
That's a hit. Brad and I laugh about that song all the time.
I know.
Yeah, they would play.
We're getting played off by Crossfade.
Crossfade, that's the name.
Oh, man. Solid. I can't wait to see. And every time it's just me and Jeff hanging out in Discord, somehow we get off on these tangents trying to predict upcoming season passes or fighter passes. Like, Jeff's big theory now is that the next one's going to be Street Fighter 3 themed.
Mm.
And you know me, I was like, well, they got to do Alex. If they do Alex, we're so back, baby. Daniel Perry from Tool. He was a late addition to my roster in 5, so I'd be stoked to be able to play around with that one again. Ibuki.
Makoto.
If it turns out to be true, Makoto, I think, is a shoe-in because I see a lot of people calling for Makoto online. Yeah, people are big fans.
Ibuki has been in the last couple of games.
Yeah.
Not that I don't want her in there. I love Ibuki too, but I think Makoto probably deserves to be in there before her.
But there's a real danger there as well, Steve, because you know who else shows up in three? Who is Oro?
Oh, fuck.
See,
no way. No, I don't, nah.
If they did Oro, we'll be on High Potion episode 400 and me talking about, I hated Street Fighter VI.
We'll be going, we need to retroactively change our rankings.
Yeah. DNF Duel.
Guilty Gear Strive.
Ooh.
DLC pack.
Ooh.
I said, ooh.
My number three. So that was your number three and my number four, right? So I got to do my number three. My number three is Final Fantasy 16.
Mm. I knew I was leaving one off of my honorable mentions list.
Dude.
It's back. It's on. It's there.
Okay. Okay. Final Fantasy 16 is... It was really, really nice to play a new mainline entry in Final Fantasy that was like... I thought was very good, right? There's a lot of things I liked about 13. There's a lot of stuff I didn't. There's a lot of stuff I liked about 15. There's a lot of stuff I didn't, right? This was the most well-rounded Final Fantasy mainline entry as far as like shit I liked in a long time. I still wish it was fucking turn-based. I wish it was turn-based. But for a game... You know, that is not turn-based at all. I had a lot of fun with the combat. I thought the story was really solid in this one.
I agree.
You know, really cool that it was like, there were so many time jumps and characters and dialogue was pretty well written. So many memes you can do. Joshua.
Yeah, the performances were all really good. The music was...
Spectacular.
As usual for and Final just Fantasy. But...
Those icon fights,
mm-hmm.
just breathtaking, dude. So yeah, fucking cool, man.
The fight against the one who does Giga Flare. Favorite character.
Bahamut,
yeah. That was a high moment of the year for me.
Jeff.
Man, he's really clock watching.
Yeah.
But man, no, seriously, that fight was one of my favorite sections of any game this year. That was so amazing.
And to me, a Final Fantasy game sort of lives and dies by its cast, right? You're going in, it's going to be weird. There's going to be summons. There's probably going to be some shit you don't quite understand, but you just keep going anyway, you know? Long cutscenes, right? And 13 had the benefit of a really solid cast, just the game that was around the cast, not super solid in a lot of ways. 15's gameplay was solid, but to me, the cast was way weaker, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the cast in 16 is really good and memorable.
Like, I agree. I can't think of anybody in like the main... principles or whatever that was bad. Even the bad guys I kind of enjoyed, you know.
And yes, it was very clearly inspired by like Game of Thrones and
Evangelion Attack on Titan.
You know, we talked about all that, but it was also a mix of shit I love. So
I was gonna say, guess hard. Who else is influenced by all that stuff?
Me, baby. Me.
Oh, I was gonna say we didn't mention it in the Game Awards episode, but that Metaphor game, you know, we're watching that trailer, and all of a sudden, somebody who we worked on Evangelion popped
up.
Oh my
god!
Credits.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
Yeah,
and you were like, "Did it just say somebody from Evangelion?"
And you go, "Yep." Yep.
Oh man, that was so awesome, and I can't wait for that game.
Oh
but,
man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so real solid game. What a great cast. Really memorable moments. Yoshi P, man. What a dude. Now the question comes, how long do I got to wait for a Final Fantasy 17?
That's going to be a while.
Yep.
I would imagine that that could is another one potentially next gen console.
Yeah, I think Final Fantasy on this generation will probably end off with like the third and final part of the remake trilogy of 7 yeah. remake. That seems doable. Yeah.
You think so?
Well, buddy, they're getting the second one out fucking 4 years, less than 4 years later.
That's a good point. So, guess it depends on how much more they have left to go.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they've got a definitive end goal in mind, the fact that they're kind of doing their own thing with the story too.
Yes.
Especially as, if you think of Evangelion as a reference, you remember the rebuilds. Like, they followed the story almost note for note at and first, then and then it just goes, and then it becomes, like, just a completely its own thing. So that could very well happen with this game.
Yeah.
For that game.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think they're showing us in all the trailers and shit, I think they're showing us very familiar stuff from that section of the game of Final Fantasy VII on purpose, because everything on either side of that shit is probably wildly different in a lot of ways.
This is wild for you, man. Like, it has a lot of parallels to the Resident Evil stuff.
Yep.
You know, you're getting remakes of these classic games
and
then you're also getting new games in the mainline series as well. So pretty cool.
It seems like it's very likely that there's a 9 remake of some sort coming, right? That there's seemingly maybe even a Final Fantasy Tactics.
Oh, yep. That's what I want. I want a Tactics remake. Oof. Man.
Ooh, I want it bad, Steve. And supposedly even a 10, Final Fantasy 10 remake, which I'll be all over.
I'll probably check it out. That one was not my favorite of the ones, but I 9, I'm all in.
Yeah. So, buddy, what's your number 2? Take a number 2 on me, Steve.
My number 2 game this year is Lies of P.
Nice. I knew this was going to show somewhere up in your list. It's high. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was honestly it contended for number 1. I had to really think this through. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think the gameplay was what set it apart from that number 1. But this game was really great. Like, seriously, the best Souls-like out there that doesn't have the words From Software pop up before the game comes up, you know. They really nailed the atmosphere. The combat's fun. They've tweaked it since a couple of times to kind of make it a little easier. And I'm not one of those nerds who's like,
right,
you should have beat it on... when it was
patch
0.
I purposely took my sweet ass time going through Elden Ring. I was like, oh, they nerfed Radahn? Guess who's about to go fight Radahn, baby? I timed that shit.
Yeah, and I fought pre-patch Radahn, and I didn't think it was that bad either.
Yeah.
So people are just nerds, and they want to flaunt whatever they can. But this game was really fun, man. You know, in the true Souls-like fashion, you have several different ways to kind of play through the game with builds to your character, and the boss fights were really memorable and good, tough. You know, the game's very tough.
Yeah.
But there's mechanics in there to help you if you're not trying to sweat fest through it, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it is pretty accessible to everybody, even though it's a tough game. The mechanics they put in there to help get you through bosses, if you're afraid of that sort of thing, if that's what keeps you away from games like
Elden
Dark
Ring
Souls
or,
and all that stuff, I would urge you to try this. It's on Game Pass, probably for at least a little while longer, but this developer is blowing up, and I expect their next game to be pretty big.
I bet. It seems like they're kind of, they're like, oh, we're going to do a part 2 to this real fast. Not like, you know what I mean? Like, it seems that's what's in the cards, right?
Yeah. Yo, it's definitely, the way it ends, there's definitely stuff. And the developers have come out and said there's going to be DLC for this as well.
Oh, that's cool.
It's sold a million copies, you know, despite, that's in addition to being on Game Pass. So that's a pretty impressive number for me.
Based on some of those leaked Microsoft things from a couple months ago, they pay quite a bit of money for those Game Pass exclusives. Insane amounts of money in some cases.
Yeah, I was honestly shocked that one was on Game Pass. I'm not going to lie. As I was playing it, I was like, I couldn't stop saying, in my head how impressed I was with the game as a Souls fan.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't believe that I was getting to play it on Game Pass. It was crazy.
Yeah. So,
man, I love it. I'm going to play it again. I've got a new game plus one going that I want to get to plus two because they incentivize the... They give you new stuff, new upgrades in each one, each
pack.
Oh,
really? That's cool.
So they give you good incentive to keep that going. But yeah, man, Lies of P, that's my number two.
Hell yeah, man. That's cool. Because like, I know you have tried many a Souls-like.
Many, yeah. Yeah, many. I mean, the Surges, tried them both, bless their hearts. Code Vein wasn't able to really do it for me.
I tried to really get into Code Vein because I was like, ooh, woo.
Yeah, anime boy souls. Yeah. What's not to love? But what's the other one that just came out this year? The Lords of the Fallen reboot. I didn't play it, but everything I was reading was like, yep, they just don't get it. You know what I mean? Like it's really hard for people to get that formula.
And yet
this tiny studio is able to do it. It blows my mind still.
You know, there was this moment during the Xbox One's life cycle where, there wasn't a lot out or, something out I wanted to play. And I was just at GameStop looking at Xbox One games. And the original Lords of the Fallen had come out. And I was like, oh, this is one of those Souls games. And still walked out the door with it. Still, yeah. So like, I'll take it home and try it. I don't remember really liking it much at all.
Mm-hmm. That one, that original one got shit on pretty good and still does to this day. Yeah. It has, there are some people out there, there's always one or two people who are like, that game was underrated, but not really.
You want to know who is kind of doing that right now is our buddy Mike Pappas. He's apparently balls deep in Dark Souls 2. He keeps being like, Halsey, ask Steve, tell Steve why am I so obsessed with Dark Souls 2, Halsey?
I don't know, man. I really don't know. I mean,
it's something about it hit for him.
You know, I would actually say, I've always said FromSoft just the best period, but I would say Lies of P for me is better than Dark Souls 2.
Okay.
So,
speaking of Dark Souls 2, are those future press books happening? Have they announced?
Oh, they announced the winner, and the winner is the Dark Souls Compendium, which I'm not surprised. Everybody wanted that, but they did say that they're probably going to announce another reprint from that list. So, fingers crossed that the Bloodborne got enough votes.
What were the other options?
Sekiro and Control.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So I already have the Sekiro book. I have the Dark Souls Compendium. They're both fantastic.
Okay, well, I'm going to get that compendium. So.
You definitely should. It's a tremendous book. And that's not a strategy guide. That's just, like, the lore. You know what I mean?
Oh,
It's a big lore book. Yeah.
Fuck yeah, bro. That's what I'm talking about. I'm way more excited for that than a strategy guide. Mm-hmm. I got a best friend who's a Dark Souls strategy guy. If I really want to get into Dark Souls, I just got a ring.
That's right.
Boop, boop. My number two, and it's fucked up that I live in a year of our Lord 2023 and have to pit these two franchises together. Because, Steve, there's nothing more than I love than fucking Star Wars and Spider-Man, okay?
I knew that it was going to come. I was curious to see which way this was going to go, because I knew it was going to come down to these two for you.
If either one of the other games didn't exist this year, the ranking would change, right?
Can I make a prediction?
What?
Your number two game?
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man 2.
Nope.
Ooh, I missed.
My number two game is Star Wars Jedi Survivor, and it is, in my heart, a 10 out of 10. It's not a 10 out of 10 game, but in my heart it is. There were three games this year where I got that, oh shit, I'm bummed, I'm done with this feeling. Spider-Man 2, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, and Final Fantasy 16. I was like, well, that's easy to figure out my top three, mm-hmm. right? Just, it's weird, like, talking about both games, because I'll just do the Spider-Man 2 stuff now, because you already talked about Spider-Man 2 a little
bit. Totally, yeah.
It's so weird where, both original games, Star Wars Fallen Order, Jedi Fallen Order, and the first Insomniac Spider-Man game were like these releases of shit that I love that were super well received, and it was like, oh, they got it finally. You know what I mean? Like someone finally got it in the modern era. There's been good Star Wars games and good Spider-Man games, but it was rough for a little while, right? For both follow-ups to come out and be super solid. And to be honest, I feel like Jedi Survivor 2 took more steps forward in gameplay than Spider-Man 2.
I agree. That's kind of why I thought you would... I felt like that felt more like a true sequel to me than Spider-Man 2 did to Spider-Man 1, if that makes sense.
It does. In Spider-Man 2, there's some other reasons for that one, but with Jedi Fallen Order, the different lightsaber styles and all the different trees, like, it was one of those games that rewarded you for doing side stuff because you could level up and shit, and then... later in the game, you're just tearing through enemies, and like you put the time in to get really decent at that combat, and it's real rewarding, and it's so smooth.
I love parrying my way through that shit, man.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I wanna, because it's one of the big things I dislike about the first one is the map system and navigating some of those bigger levels. I never had that problem in this one.
It was a lot better.
Yeah, I feel like the level design and traversal was a lot even more smooth than this one. The story was really good. Marin just stole the show again. Surprise, surprise. What a great game. Lightsaber customization. My dumb ass up at 3 a.m. being like, I need to go to bed, but I'm sitting here customizing colors and lightsaber crystals and hilt pieces. Jeff, I'm not stopping, man. And then hanging out with BD and customizing him. And by the way, I do think it's kind of fucked up that they didn't let me customize the Mantis anymore, because I like doing that in the first game. And then the way the side quests fucking played out, spoiler alert, one of them plays out with Boba Fett, motherfucker, just out of nowhere. And that mission was bugged for me for months. And then I finally got to beat it, and that was the payoff. That's why this game is my number 2.
Oh, man. Brilliant stuff, man. I agree with just about everything you said. I loved that game a lot. It was really hard to leave some of these games off because they absolutely deserve to be, you know, in the
top
5.
What a great game for... I mean, like, listen. If you replay Spider-Man or Star Wars with Bloodborne 2 or the next FromSoft game, like, I know where it's going to be in your list. It just happens to be that my favorite franchise, video game franchise all time, Final Fantasy, put out a new game, and I got sequels to my two favorite fucking pop culture things.
Wild.
Craziness, buddy. Spider-Man 2, I'll just go over that real quickly. I love the way Insomniac changes the Spider-Man lore, but they haven't missed yet with it, because that could be easy to fuck up with, right? They take their own liberties with the backstories and everything, and it works so well. Integrating Miles into the full game, just great.
Yeah, as somebody who's not familiar with the comic books at all, like, the story seems totally comic booky and
They get the tone,
you know? Yeah,
they get the tone. They even... You know, the story in 2 being with the black suit and Peter becoming an asshole, they didn't take it too far, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they still kept that Spider-Man tone to it. They really know how to, like, write in the Spider-Man universe, and it's super impressive.
The section in that game with Venom is also one of my sections of the year in the video game. Dude. You know what I mean?
Just, like, and just such a surprise, right? And rock solid. The way that game will flow in between cutscenes to you playing seamlessly without loading, insane. It is a programming masterpiece.
It really is. Like, their whatever engine code they've got running on that game is just so rock solid.
Good, man. And it sucks because... in a perfect world, I'd be playing my sixth good fucking Batman game from Rocksteady, right? You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, I shit on that third game because I think it's the worst, but it was still a good game, you know?
Yep. Yeah, again, based on you can't fuck that game up. They just were iterating on it too much.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly. So, buddy, I already know what your number one is. What is it?
Let's go Resident Evil 4, baby. Oh, my God. Jeff said, help.
He said, I thought you wanted to watch the Packers, Steve.
Man, no, I got a few minutes. But, yeah, of course, Resident Evil 4, man. I played this game and have beaten it like four times since March. So
yep,
I've played it so many damn times. I love it so much. It's so fun.
Gloria Las Vegas.
I can't really even point to one section that stands out above the others for me, outside of maybe that first, you know, the famous section where you get rushed. But, like, because there's so many great moments in that game.
Uh-huh.
The gunplay is so fun to me. And the knife parry, the way they brought it into the present day. Like, you know, you can say it's a remake all you want, but that game is so fun to play.
It is it's not a remaster. That is a remake.
It deserves to be acknowledged, in my opinion. And that team did a wonderful job in that game. And
it's been so nice to see Capcom sort of like nailing it, because they do so much shit I like. Mm-hmm. Resident Evil and Street Fighter alone, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that alone, they're legends
in my
to me.
Top five. Yeah,
I was gonna ask you this. Supposedly, as the rumors go, Resident Evil 9 is probably, you know, coming in the next couple of years. Makes sense. That's gonna be kind of the end of that section of Resident Evil before they go on to something new, right? Kind of like they did with 7. I kind of hope when they do that, like if there's a Resident Evil 10, they go back to the third person.
Me too.
I do Me like too. The first person, and what a great idea to sort of revitalize the franchise, right?
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder if there needs to be just like a massive reboot to it at some point.
Yeah,
because
it's very convoluted at this point.
Yeah, and 7 looked like it was gonna be that, but it turned out
yep, they were like, oh, we're so back, baby. Chris Redfield, let's go. Guess
we're
what
back. Yep. We're back, baby.
Yep. Yep.
Oh man, but what a great year for video games.
I know, man. I can't wait to have this conversation next year. I'm gonna go ahead and tell you, Steve, it's gonna be Final Fantasy 7 Remake Part 2 Rebirth, whatever the fuck that game is called.
It's the early favorite for you.
Yep, I'm calling
you
it.
Gotta say. Of course, Shadow of the Erdtree, I'm counting as a game, so we'll see how that does for me.
Yeah, I think we've already established the rule that a game with a DLC, like a large DLC, counts with Cyberpunk, so yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see, let's hope that comes out real soon.
Hell yeah, man.
All right, buddy. Well, I think we'll cut it there. Go to myweirdfoot.com for all your high potion needs. Leave us a review and... I don't know, man. Maybe we'll talk about... I don't know what we'll talk about.
I was waiting for it.
Fucking Jeff.
Kill!
Anyways, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, everybody.